Good morning.
Good
morning. Coming to church this morning, I was behind a really slow poker, and I found myself saying ungracious things. That's the time we have to look to the Lord and say, control me, Lord. And he did, thank goodness. So today I'm going to read to you from Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came up and urged him, saying, "Send her away. She keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. That is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, inspire the hearts of your faithful people with a single longing. Grant that your people will desire to love you and what you command and what you desire and what you promise. So that in all the changes and chances of this uncertain world, our hearts may surely be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, who is alive with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. I'm a slow learner, but it took me a long time to learn that it is very difficult knowing what is right and what is wrong. Now, I grew up in a church that was pretty much fundamentalist, pretty much. And it was a church in which there was right and there was wrong. And everybody knew what was right and everybody knew what was wrong. And you just did what you were supposed to do. But I found out it's more difficult than that. Knowing what is right and what is wrong is not always clear. And sometimes I see that what is right for me may be wrong for you. And just the opposite. And then I've discovered that some of the things I thought were right, something happens and I have this, they call it the aha moment. Aha! Now I see. Something I thought was right for years and years and years, something will happen and I'll say, that wasn't right. And I say to myself, how did I believe that stupid thing all of these years? I believed the wrong thing. That's not right. This is right. It's not easy. Sometimes we have to pray. Sometimes we go to friends or pastors and we counsel. We think. We contemplate. And we try to find for us at this moment, what is God calling us to do? What is the right thing to do now? In our text today that we read from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is being followed and served by 12 disciples. And they think they know what's right. and what's wrong. They've been taught. They've gone through the customs. They've listened to the rabbis. And they have a pretty clear sense. This is right and this is wrong. Even though, in the words, if you read the whole chapter that precedes us or that comes before the what we read this morning, you'll see that the Pharisees, they had their idea of what was right too. They believed that you had to wash yourself in certain ways and eat certain foods. And if you didn't do exactly what they said, you were wrong. And Jesus, as you know, if you read that whole chapter, says to them, no. It's not what's on the outside, washing your hands. It's not what you eat and take into yourself on the inside. That doesn't make you wrong. That doesn't defile you. And then he says, it's what comes out. Not what goes in. It's what comes out. Out of the heart. Out of the mind. Out of the feelings. It's how you experience life, letting it out. Out of the heart comes love or hate. Out of the heart comes service or non-service. It's what comes out, not what goes in, that makes you right. Now, with that as a background, Jesus then wants to teach the disciples a little bit more about what's right and what's wrong. And so he takes them up the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, outside the Bible Belt of Galilee, where right and wrong was so clearly known and taught. And he takes them to an area called Tyre and Sidon. It is not the Bible Belt of Galilee. It is a pagan place. There are Roman and Greek temples and teachings. There are pagans everywhere. It is not Galilee anymore. It's a strange and foreign place. And as they get close to Tyre, they can even smell it. I remember the first time I went to Liberal, Kansas, driving my car. Liberal, Kansas is a place where there's stockyards. I had my windows rolled down. And I could smell Liberal, Kansas, long before I saw it. It's that way with Tyre. You could smell it. It was a manufacturing city. They made dyes. And there was rotting fish and rotting snails and manufacturing of dyes. And you could smell it before you got there. I can imagine the disciples, as they got closer to Tyre, they might have been saying to one another, wow, boy, I'm sure glad I don't live here. Are you getting a picture of where they were? Outside Galilee, in a pagan place, in a place that stank, not a very nice place to be. And in the midst of this, a woman comes shouting. Now, the disciples, when they learned right and wrong when they were children, they learned a prayer, and they would say it every morning. And the prayer would go something like this. I'm going to paraphrase it. Oh God, King of the universe, I thank you that I was not born a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. Now, sometimes I pray a prayer like that. I mean, several times in my life, I've been glad that I'm not a woman, but that's not a prayer I'm proud of, but that's just how I felt at the moment. And here's this woman shouting. And there's chaos going on here. I want you to get a picture of the chaos that's going on here in this story. Here they are in this stinking place a place that's foreign and foreboding and that's ugly in every way that you can imagine. And here is this woman who comes shouting at Jesus, a woman, don't you understand? This is not a person that's acceptable in the full sense of that word. Everything is wrong. It's chaotic. And the woman is shouting, Jesus, Lord, Son of David. How does she know that? We have no idea. She gives the titles. How does she know this? Jesus is trying to get the disciples to say this. Lord, Son of David. And they can't seem to understand what that means and who he is. But this woman has gone all beyond them. Even though she's a woman, she's gone beyond them. She understands who he is, and she calls him by title, and she gets it exactly right. Lord, Son of David. And so she's shouting, and the disciples have had it. They can't take any more. The smell, the woman, the foreboding place, the ugliness of it all. They've had it up to here, and they say to Jesus, not just one of them, but several of them, evidently, send her away. Now, I want you to get the picture here because it's a picture of chaos. It's a picture of chaos. She's shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy. And three or four of them at the same time are saying, send her away. Lord, Son of David, send her away. Lord, Son of David, send her away. And it's all shouting and it's confusion and it's chaos. Absolutely. And the text says that Jesus just stood there and didn't say a word. And then finally he speaks. I suppose the chaos is now under control. And he says, he begins a conversation with the woman, but it's a conversation where she seems to understand what he's saying. And the disciples have no clue what's going on. And the conversation goes like this. I was sent, not to you, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And the disciples are saying to themselves or to one another, amen to that. He wasn't sent to people like this. He was sent to us. He's ours. He's mine. Amen to that. And so, who are you sent to? We have to draw a line. I mean, the disciples felt like Jesus was finally drawing a line. I'm going to go this far, but I'm not going to step over the line because God has not sent me to you, only to the lost sheep of Israel. And the disciples, amen. That's the line. Where's your line? At what point do you say, I'm not going to step over this. I've gone as far as I can go. Well, our line usually, we family, if family needs us, we're there. Relatives, well, some relatives. Neighbors, well, yeah, a couple exceptions. People of my community, people of my nation, people of my race. At what point do you draw a line and say, I am not available? I've gone as far as I can go. And to a certain extent, we have to have those lines, to a certain extent. I mean, there are too many needs, aren't there? They're everywhere around us. We drive downtown, there's a veteran or some homeless man. He's holding a sign. It says, I'm hungry, I'm unemployed, please help me. And we wish maybe we would or could, but we know we can't help everybody, and who knows, maybe they're on drugs. Or we turn on the television and, you know, there's another hurricane in the Caribbean and somebody's appealing for help. Or there's another earthquake in Europe, or there's another something somewhere. There's another need. People in Africa, children who are deformed, birth defects. Won't you send us a check so we can do an operation and make the face normal again? I can hear my wife's voice now. I'm in the other room, and she's saying, yes, we've already given this year, and we don't plan to make another gift until next year. Thank you for calling. She hangs up the phone. We all do that. We can't answer every need, every person, every appeal. At some point, we've got to protect ourselves and say, I've gone as far as I can go. And so Jesus says to the woman, I can't go to you. I can't help you. I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the disciples said, yes, that's as far as we can go. This woman seems to understand that there's conversation going on here at different levels. And Jesus says to her, it is not fair to throw the children's food to the dogs. And again, the disciples understand that in their way, we are the children of Israel. And it's not right that the bread should go to the dogs, and this woman is, in their eyes, no better than a dog. Well, if you let me paraphrase that and use a language that we don't usually use in church, but you'll forgive me. In England, they refer to female dogs this way. And in America, we usually don't. We usually use it for people. And so here's what the disciples heard. And it was music to their ears. They wanted to hear this because they had been taught right from wrong. Okay? They knew what was right and they knew what was wrong. And what they heard Jesus say was, get away from me, you bitch. That's how, if we translated it literally, he was saying, you dog, I am not going to help you. Get away. And they were saying in their hearts, yeah, send the bitch away. We're not responsible for her. She's on the other side of the line. But now I've been saying through this sermon that there's two conversations going on here. One conversation is the one the disciples are hearing. And the other conversation is the one the woman is hearing. And somehow she understands both conversations at the same time. And so at his feet, kneeling, having said, have mercy on me, my daughter is possessed of a demon. Please help me. She says now to Jesus, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. And Jesus says something to her. You should listen very carefully to what he says. He says to her what he wanted to be able to say to the disciples, but he hasn't said it. In fact, in the previous chapter, Peter tries to walk on water and he fails, and Jesus says to him, "You of little faith." But now to the Canaanite mother, he says what he would like to be able to say to the disciples. And he says it to a woman. He says it to a woman who lives in a stinking pagan place. He says it to the most unlikely person. I've tried to paint this picture. Did you get it? This is the most unlikely person who could ever hear this. There's nobody else in the world who could beat her out. I mean, she is the number one person not to hear this, right? He says to her, "Great is your faith." And if I had been one of the disciples, I would have been completely speechless. This is not what I was taught. If I had been one of the disciples, I would have the beginning of an aha moment. If the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the goodness of Jesus falls upon her, and if Jesus says to her, "Great is your faith," where does it stop? And so they had to make a decision, as we have to make a decision. Because if we're going to follow Jesus, he's going to lead us into a new country that we've never been before. And we're not in control. And what we're not in control is, who am I going to be for other people? And the other thing we're not in control of is, what will I allow other people to give to me? Jesus doesn't seem to stop at lines. He seems to be going everywhere. And I can't think of anything in the world more interesting and more wonderful and exciting than to follow him and to cross all of the lines that we have drawn for the world. Amen.